Let's look first at Holy Thursday, at the Chrism Mass, during which the oils are blessed. Tell us a bit more about the importance of this Mass and what it all means.
It's a gathering of the local church, usually in the diocesan cathedral, and the celebration is centered on, of course, the Mass, but a principal secondary element is the blessing of the oils, which will be used by that local church through in all the sacraments during the following year. So the oil of the sick, the chrism, and the oil of the catechumens are all brought together and blessed and then distributed to the local clergy and parishes for their use throughout the year. It's a beautiful symbolism of the unity of the faith and the unity in these sacred oils which are used in the performance of the sacraments.
And what are the ingredients for these sacred oils? Can you tell us a bit more about that?
There are various oils that are drawn from nature, and they're as simple as they possibly can be. Basically, forms of olive oil and other sacred nards that have been put in a liquid form and then are usually put in small vials and then distributed throughout the local church.
Okay, moving on to the late afternoon, there's the In Cena Domini Mass commemorating Christ's Last Supper with his disciples. And of course, we have this wonderful symbolic act where the Pope reenacts Christ's gesture of humility towards his apostles by washing the feet. Tell us a little bit more about this.
Yes, as you said, the Mass of the Lord's Supper, Holy Thursday, has three principal parts. The one you mentioned is the washing of the feet, which symbolizes the mandatum, the giving of the mandate, the love command. Love one another as I have loved you. Love until a sacrifice, love in a sacrificial and service manner. But it's part of a troika, we could call it, in which the institution of the priesthood begins at the Last Supper and consequently the institution of the Eucharist. So it's the priesthood, the Mass, and then the love command.
Now then, let's go on to Good Friday, the day of Christ's Passion and his crucifixion. And we have here in the afternoon the ceremony where we commemorate his Passion. This, of course, has the veneration of the cross. There's quite a lot of symbolism here and particular things that are done, like all the other crucifixes are hidden away. Mm-hmm. Tell us more about that.
What's important is what doesn't happen on Good Friday is that the Mass is never offered. The final Mass has been on Holy Thursday, and it really opens one continuous liturgy until Easter. So there's no dismissal on Holy Thursday. The church gathers again on Good Friday for principally to reread the Passion narrative again, as we did on Palm Sunday, to venerate the cross in some manner, and also to receive Holy Communion. But as I said, no Mass is being offered there. All these things to deepen the sense of what has transpired on Good Friday, the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus, God's only begotten Son, for the salvation of the world.
And I read that images of saints are either kept or veiled until the Easter Vigil. Is that still the case today, or is this pre-Vatican II?
We see sometimes a mix of it in pre-Vatican II. It usually went on throughout the whole of Holy Week. What we have now in terms of veiling and unveiling is the entrance of the cross during the Good Friday liturgy. The priest will carry it covered, and at three different points in the entrance, parts of the cross are unveiled in one, two, and three steps. So again, this idea of the revelation being brought forth. So it's focused not so much on the veiling of the other accoutrements in the church, but on the cross itself, that it's veiled and then unveiled during the Good Friday liturgy.
And then
the veneration.
Yes, come to venerate it, yes.
Exactly.
And the priest wears red vestments to symbolize the blood of Christ?
Correct. This is another day in which red is the appropriate color, liturgical color, because of the Passion representing the shedding of Christ's blood for us.
Moving on, of course, to the evening of Good Friday. Here in Rome, we have this very highly atmospheric ceremony of the Via Crucis, which takes place with the participation of the Pope in the ruins of the Colosseum. And there we see the Stations of the Cross. Can you tell us a little bit more about this?
Sure. The Via Crucis, the Way of the Cross, is celebrated in its particular way here in Rome, but it is celebrated throughout the world. You know, think of the great Passion displays in Spain or in Mexico and in other churches as well. The key liturgical moment is what we described earlier in, as the Good Friday liturgy, but there's many devotional aspects of Good Friday that are displayed in the streets and in homes and in churches and parishes. Here in Rome, it's this great Via Crucis that takes place at the Colosseum, mindful of the early Christians and their connection to Christ, and the Holy Father attends this as well, and special prayers. They're written every year differently by someone else, by a different clergyman usually. And so it's a really, again, a deepening of the walk with Christ in his passion, kind of representing it in a more popular manner, in a more kind of folkloric and expressive manner.
And how many Stations of the Cross are there?
14 traditionally, including the resurrection itself. And that's been added in many recent years. Some places do, some places don't. I believe it's not promulgated here in Rome. So it's the traditional stations that are usually line a church as part of the decor inside of a church that really follow as closely as possible the scriptures of Christ's last day on earth.
Okay, now we come on to Holy Saturday, where we, of course, have the Easter Vigil. It's where we commemorate the day that Jesus lay in the tomb. And also, like Good Friday, of course, as you said, there's no Masses.
Holy Saturday day is completely silent until the evening vigil. And I love the church. You know, Easter is really the celebration, but we anticipate it so much that we begin the night before. You know, it's sundown, really, using that as our sense of time. And so again, the church gathers again, and it begins the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord. It will culminate in a Mass, but there's so many other elements that lead up to the Eucharist and then flow from that as well.
Tell us some of those elements, because of course we have the catechumens, the people who are formally joining the church.
Right.
You know, how did that come about? Tell us a little bit about what happens there for them.
The liturgy begins usually outside of the church with the blessing of the fire. And the fire is usually like a kind of a pit of some kind, depending on how elaborate a church can be. But then that fire is transferred to the Easter candle. The Easter candle is brought into a darkened church, and everyone is sitting there, but they hold their own little candles. And little by little, this Easter candle light is shared with the congregation, Christ, the light of the world. Then we go into a long series of readings recounting our salvation. This is really the Christian Passover night. And so we recall all that transpired in the preparation for the coming of the Christ and what he has accomplished. And then this leads into the Passover of the baptism. The catechumens who have been preparing throughout the year are themselves brought into the church. They die and rise again through the sacrament of baptism. They are given a candle. They are vested in white. They are anointed with those oils that we talked about from Holy Thursday. And then they are part of the congregation and will receive the Holy Eucharist for the first time that night. All this leads into the celebration of the Mass, as I mentioned, and then the distribution of Holy Communion, and the full celebration of Easter has begun on Holy Saturday night.
Okay, Easter Vigil, as you said, ushers in the joy of Easter Day and Christ's resurrection. And, of course, here in the Vatican, we have this traditional Urbi and Orbi by the Pope. Do we have any idea how long, when that was first started?
I think it goes back to very early days of the papacy, in which this was the key day. The Pope would always address the church in some manner, shape, or form. But as the church grew and it became more and more a worldwide church, you know, to the Urbi, to the city of Rome, but also to the world, then it takes on different and greater expressions. Now it's from the balcony of St. Peter's Basilica and in all the languages of the world, and it's addressed to everyone, this good news of Christ's resurrection. This concludes a whole morning of Eucharistic celebrations. Really, often many churches and many places have sunrise services. Some places they're even held outdoors. You know, the rising of the sun is a symbol of the rising of Christ. So Easter morning is this great morning of joy and the rising of the Lord and the celebration. And we mentioned colors. The color is, of course, white, festive color.
And sometimes gold?
Sometimes gold, yeah. Gold or white can be, the more festive, the better.
I was speaking to Jesuit Father Matthew Gamba about the Holy Week liturgical celebrations.